This show was furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervey.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. Why are you laughing?
Because
about
you
that?
Cracked me up. I was just listening to the intro and I was thinking, okay, you represent the workers, but what about, like, I fell at a restaurant the other night and I've got bruises all over my body. Yes, we were social distancing. Yes, I had mask on, but I like went down hard and there was a pothole because, you know, everyone's sitting very socially distant. No, you wouldn't represent me. You'd represent them.
No, I don't represent them. I represent people who are injured on the job.
I was eating on the job.
Now, as you are working, it's Jillian Barbary, and she's on the job. If she falls off her chair, here I am.
Well, listen, it's early.
I will represent you against whoever your employer is here. Let's call it KBC.
No.
They're a good target.
They've been great to me, and I'm so happy to be back with you.
How long have you been with KBC?
Well, I was here for a good, I don't know, wait a minute, 6 years maybe? Yeah, so it's been quite a long and wonderful stretch. I love everyone here. But you know, I was telling my friend the other day, I said, I did a painting for auction, and I don't know who the hell bought it, but it's on the wall across the street, and
wow.
I thought, I want to go and steal it back. Can we just talk about the fact that you have two of the most adorable children I've ever met? They are so yummy.
Thank you. Yes. I enjoy them. They're here right now.
You enjoy them.
Maybe we can get them on the show later.
You know what? I would love that. And we were talking earlier. I said, I would love to get our kids to ask us any questions out of the box because your kids are just a couple years behind mine. You've got a daughter and a son, and I have a daughter and a son.
Right.
Now, your kids, they play baseball.
They do.
Both of them
baseball.
Play.
Baseball. What a great topic to talk about today.
Especially today because I have a really quick story before we go to our superstar guest. My kids were in the car with me. I'm driving them to school and they were just with their dad. They don't have two dads. Their dad at a Dodgers game. So they said to me, Mommy, were you married to a Major League Baseball player? I said, did you Google me? And they said, no, Daddy told us. I was like, damn it. I wanted to tell you I was married before.
That's wonderful that they actually, did they ask for
a card? Oh yeah. They got right into Brett
Barbary.
You know,
it's funny because I shouldn't say this, but we had Cindy Garvey on the show a little while back and she was telling me about, you know, I guess her grandchildren didn't even know
that Steve was the grandfather.
Just
blasphemous almost.
Well,
right?
I don't know, but our guest today probably has something to say about that. Yeah. He knows everyone. I mean, this guy has been around. Let me talk about Ron Say first, because people are really clamoring to listen to the show because he's a legend here in LA.
He's a legend.
He is such a popular, he was and is, popular guy. He played 17 years in the majors, third baseman at LA Dodgers, 4 National League pennants, 1 World Series, 6-time All-Star, World Series MVP in 1981 with a 350 batting average. He also played for the Chicago Cubs and Oakland A's. He's known as the Penguin. He was part of the fabled infield of Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes, and Bill Russell. He really won a prestigious award, and I think that's something that maybe he's most proud of, called the Lou Gehrig Award in 1982 for integrity on and off the field.
Well, especially off the field. That's huge.
And that's
huge.
What Ron Say is all
that's
about.
Awesome.
Ron Say, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Welcome.
Alan, Jillian, nice to be with you both. Jillian, I think the last time I saw you was at a Dodger game downstairs in the dugout club. I don't know
was
how
I the ball
long
girl?
Ago it was, but do you remember that?
I absolutely do. And I'm going to say something that just... That was the night it may have been with Brett Barbary. He was in another area. And, that was the night we just decided to divorce. But other than that, Ron Say, I do remember that evening very well. You know, I just want to ask you something, Mr. Say, because, you know, as Alan's talking about integrity off the field, that's something that I worked in the NFL for 10 years and certainly being married to a baseball player, that's a huge, pat on the back because we don't really see that a lot. And also the 17 years, how often does that happen anymore?
Thank you, first of all. Secondly, I'm paying for that today.
Your body hurts?
Well, oh, come on, Ron. Here's a disclaimer here. My kids actually are coached by Ron's son, Dan Say, who's a great player in and of himself in the Minnesota Twins organization way back when. And Ron looks great. He is in great shape. So your body may be paying for it, but somehow you've been able to hang in there.
Looks can be deceiving, however, but,
it's all the gardening that you're doing now.
Well, listen, when you're confined, like we've been since, early in the year, I've had a lot of, honeydew weekends come early. I have had numerous jobs thrown on me. I've got nowhere to go.
It's sort of like picking and choosing new things to do. And especially if you're retired and you're with a loved one, I don't have that. I've been at home and, I've been with the kids, but I wonder what that's like. Tell me a little bit, guys, because you're both doing that with a partner. Do you try to find new ways to, or is it like, okay, I'm going to go to my special space right now, my man cave, and you can go to your lady dungeon, and let's just, I don't know, because I'm alone all the time.
Ron, how long have you been married to Fran?
Oh, my God.
1971?
We really want to go there. What is it? It's now 49 years.
Wow.
Oh,
congratulations.
49 years. I got to say, that's incredible.
That is an accomplishment.
We all know that there's numerous sacrifices that are made, to make it all work. But we've been really fortunate, and it feels real strange to say that. I've been living in my home here, where I'm speaking to you from, 47 years.
Oh my gosh,
it's ridiculous. Now it doesn't look anywhere near what it looks like from then to now. But just the idea of, being
home
in one place.
And how so long, long, how long, Ron, has it had the penguin in front of it?
Well, that's another one of my wife's decorations to the front walkway. So
I didn't realize that we were neighbors practically. You're literally down the street from me. But so when you were talking about being a baseball player is a lot of obviously travel and a sacrifice. It is really for the women, too, in the marriage. And I mean that I was a horrible, I had my own career. I looked up to the women that went on the road with the husbands, but it wasn't until long after that I really appreciated. And my ex would say to me, they're there for, they're giving comfort, support. And I was like, well, don't they want careers? And boy, now I'm like, I want to be one of those wives. What was I thinking?
Well, I can tell you that, the times have changed as much with that as has the game. We had only a certain number of family trips available to take during the course of the year. And it's not like they go every time. And so, back then, our road trips were like 10 days to 2 weeks, not a week like it is now.
Yeah.
And so when we were gone, we were gone. And if you did not have a strong wife at home being able to manage all of that.
That's right.
I found the right one.
Yeah.
And
good
you
for
had
you.
I found somebody that was independent, strong-minded, and
had your back, and she was able to take care of things at home. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So,
And two kids. Amanda,
that's the biggest job.
Anytime, Alan, you want to change places with your wife, call me, and I'll tell you that that's not a good idea.
No, I know. I truly appreciate it, and I know it's worked for you guys.
Yeah.
Your kids, obviously, everyone has challenges, and it's got to be difficult when you are on the road. And things are different now. I mean, like you say, the players, they're able to stay more in touch.
Because of not traveling as much, but what about COVID and how that's affected?
Well, let me ask you, Ron. I want to ask you about COVID because we got to take a break in a second. But you mentioned about being at home and, doing the gardening and doing all these things. One of the things that really got me through the last few months was watching baseball because there wasn't a whole lot I could do. I couldn't go to the games, but we could watch. And, of course, this year was special because the Dodgers won the World Series.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, all said and done with that. Yeah, I think that, you know, once, you know, we were able to find a little bit of entertainment for people that were home, you know, after, you know, the first few months. On the fact that, you know, in the beginning, I believe there were a lot of old classic games from the NFL and the NBA and hockey and Major League Baseball that they played, you know, pretty much to keep people, you know, entertained and involved still. But it was a major task to try and fit this together. And, you know, as we speak now with this raging pandemic going on and doubling almost from 100 to 200,000 people a day, I find it's going to be a real test as to whether college football is going to be able to finish, where pro football is going to be able to finish. And it's simply because, you know, these guys are traveling. You know, they're in big groups a lot, and even though they're doing what they can to keep their space and the masks on, you know, inevitably, you know, it sneaks in, and it's not a bubble. You know,
thank you for saying that, because I've been on the road with the, you know, when Brett was playing, and you go to dinner or you're on the bus or, you know, the guys, you can't be that distance and with a mask. I just don't know how it doesn't creep out into the vapors and, you know.
Well, it's the same thing. You know, you have your family and you have friends, I'm sure, that when you go to places and when you go eat now for places that are open for that, and even though you have to have your mask on, you're around people,
yes,
a small group of people that you feel comfortable doing that with.
Right.
And there's a responsibility for you to make sure that you're not the one that, you know, causes the problem. So you have many responsibilities.
Yes, we do.
You know, and everybody's got to do their share.
Yes.
You know, this is a real deal, folks.
100%. And, thank you for saying
I
don't care what and there are some stations who still deny that this is happening.
It's crazy.
I guess that's like denying the Holocaust.
Yeah. I'm so with you on that. Amen. And Wayman is clapping. I know we have to go for a break, but I just want to say, when I lived with Brett Barbary, when we were married, we lived in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
And I was watching everyone in Huntington Beach last night out partying, and I was like, oh, I was so nervous. I was like, put a mask on. But I also have underlying conditions of cancer, so I get very nervous.
Well, maybe
you're like the only person I see, Alan, every
week. Well, I have a mask on. And Ron knows that every time he sees me, I have a mask on. And maybe that's a good segue to talk about after the break with Justin Turner, who it was very strange how he gets pulled out of the game in the World Series, and then they win it, and then he comes back out. But, you know, there's so many questions around that, and I know Ron has a few words to say about that as well, because it really is important, and it can go both ways, but you're going to have to wait till after the break to hear from legend Ron Say, LA Dodgers, and you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Do you know this is also one of Ron Say's neighbors?
Yes. In fact,
John Mellencamp. John Fogerty. Cancer brain, chemo brain.
Yeah, and we were fortunate enough at Hudson and Harper School, they had John Fogerty singing with his daughter who goes to Hudson. She just graduated this year Hudson and Harper School. And they're a little farther away from Ron Say. They're down in, I think, Thousand Oaks.
Oh, they are now? Okay. Yeah. I remember he performed at a Super Bowl. He was lovely.
And he's doing great job with this Fogerty, whatever he calls it, with his kids.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And they are
wonderful.
Amazing. So if you get a chance to listen to John Fogerty,
that's so nice.
He's a great guy, and he's donated a lot to the school, so we're happy about that. But we're here to talk about Ron Say, not John Fogerty.
Yeah.
And Ron Say, of course, four National League pennants and a World Series, 1981 World Series. Ron, what was it like watching the Dodgers this year when they win the World Series? You've been so closely tied with the Dodgers. I know you texted Dave Roberts, and, you know, you're right there in the middle of the organization, have been a fan favorite ever since. What does it feel like? Does it bring back memories from 1981?
You know, this year, I think I've been there 35 years now, total. But this year was strange in every aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt more disconnected to things in my life than I have this last year. I mean, I just don't get to have any kind of a routine. You don't see the same people that you mingle with. I don't get to go to the stadium. I was there one time this year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's just
and
so bizarre.
So, you know, the restrictions are, and they should have been, that, you know, only needed personnel to, you know, be at these games. And that's your team, your security, the people that you need as core people there to run the stadium and the grounds crew and the umpires and announcers, and that's about it. Maybe some fans, but not, you know, but you're talking about these cardboard fans.
Yeah, it's that's what we have here, actually, Alan and I. We put a bunch of cardboard
cutouts.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of them behind Wayman right now with their hands in the air chapping. But that's not the number one finger, you guys. It's wrong. But I wanted to mention to you or ask you, what do you think the future of baseball is as far as this pandemic? Because, Ron, it's just changed everything, and I can't imagine.
I don't know. But let me just say this. I didn't really get a chance to answer the last part of that, and then I'll get back to this one. You know, having the Dodgers win the World Series, you know, it's wonderful for our fans, the organization, the players. But I didn't see, I didn't have, and because of the restrictions, you know, there's no way to understand the buzz.
Right.
Okay. There's no parade. There's no.
Yeah.
Hey, when's the celebration? Oh, we don't know yet. Well, okay. So it's odd. It's different. You had to watch everything on television. And my hat's off to the players for being able to get through this season under those incredibly difficult circumstances and to play the games with the emotion that they had because you're now playing in front of no one when you got 50,000 people in the stands.
Crazy.
It's, I got to tell you, it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
And your whole approach, not being able to mingle with the people, you know, before the game, there's just nobody around.
And that's part of the whole camaraderie of baseball. It's that brotherhood of, you know, you're all wearing the uniform, you're going in there together for the same purpose.
But it's not only that, it's actually having the fans being there screaming. Yeah. Like when you won the MVP in 81 and everyone's screaming and you take that energy from what's going on around you, not only the camaraderie of the teammates.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I mean, I suppose by having, especially Dodger Stadium, you know, the cardboard fans in the stands, and those are fans. If you know that, those fans right down in front are the people who have those seats.
Yeah.
Normally, I mean, those are their seats. That face goes with that seat. So, you know, if you see, you know, Mary Hart pop up. And you're used to seeing Mary Hart. I mean, I suppose it's comforting to know that, you know, Mary's here in spirit, but I don't get to talk to Mary.
And you don't get to see those gams, you know? Those legs.
No.
I mean, it's just, that's not the same. I mean,
just as an example, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, and then you've got the pandemic noise and music, you know? So it's like, wow, this is just really bizarre. So I would like for next year, if, you know, I can return there to some normality, ask the players about their experiences with this, because I think it would be really interesting because, you know, you have 1 week at home and you have 1 week on the road and, you know, you're trying to get a feel for, you know, what this is going to be like. What am I going to be doing, you know, living out of a hotel room? Are we quarantined, you know, while we're there? You know, is it always going to be room service?
Sure.
And then you go to another city and you have another experience and maybe it wasn't as good. So you're really kind of going into the unknown here every time you travel and get out there in a new city. It's got to be real strange. It's just, that's what I'm saying. I'm so proud of these guys. And having, you know, the honor between them, you know, to, you know, stay safe.
Yeah.
If you can't get it. If you don't play teamwork, then this is something that you learn at a very early age. And I wish somebody would have played Little League sports a lot sooner, if not at all, so that he could have understood what teamwork means in this country.
Right. That's true.
100%.
So it would be really nice that if you learn this as an early age, this is one of those life lessons that you learn by playing Little League sports. It's outside of the book.
That's right.
Okay?
And so you need this experience as well as you need to be in school and the book learning.
I love that you brought this up.
You know, it's interesting because you talk about Little League sports and you talk about people who have these dreams of winning the World Series and how they're going to celebrate.
Yeah.
And then I say, Justin Turner, I know you had yours, but you didn't have the pandemic. What are your thoughts on how exciting and how great it is to win it? And then Justin Turner told that he can't come out for the celebration. Then he does anyway.
Yeah. Well, it was unfortunate, you know, and by all means, it was wrong. And
100%.
So the answer to this is, you know, I made a mistake. And I think it took maybe a week before there was an official response after Major League Baseball said that they were going to do an investigation. And when they did, they came back with a response and said, you know, we're gonna take the blame on this. The Dodgers are going to take part blame on this. You know, Justin has satisfied us with the explanation and the apology. So we're good to go. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But what really happened? Why was he in the game? Where was he?
Exactly.
What, you know, I mean. They didn't address anything as far as I know.
Right.
Yeah, why are they telling him in the sixth inning?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding, and I could be wrong, was that there was the test that became apparently positive was inconclusive. Okay, so then they, instead of saying, okay, if it's inconclusive, I guess we really can't, you know, we can't change this, right? So we got to stop. We got to keep them out of the game.
Got to play it safe.
I don't know what those restrictions are, and it would be time. It would be really nice if someone who has the authority and ability to answer that question to do so. Okay, because I can't answer it because I don't have the answers to what seemingly is a question that's been unanswered, and I'm surprised that it hasn't been asked more, or somebody in this day and age hasn't said, "Listen, I didn't get a response back from this question that I asked."
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where is it?
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are.
No, I think what happens is it is the way of the world, and it just passes. You know, we're already on to the next thing, the next issue. And then this week we hear that the Dodgers are laying off a lot of their employees. Yet in the same breath, you know, they're maybe looking at trading for a $260 million man, Nolan Arenado from the Rockies. How do we reconcile that, Ron, when you got people being laid off and all of this money is being paid to these athletes and then bringing on maybe another big contract?
Okay, well, listen, first of all, I'm not the man to ask that question. Okay? All right, you know, it's about time that the people who are responsible, like I said earlier, for making these kinds of decisions to answer the questions. You know, it doesn't matter what I really think. I think it's really unfortunate in mild terms that the Dodgers are actually thinking about, you know, letting go of a number of personnel. There's only seven teams in baseball, and certainly the class of this organization that has been for so many years that I'm part of, you know, I don't even know if I'm safe. Okay. So,
My goodness.
Well, I think
so
you're safe.
I'm just saying, it's about time that those. I haven't received a memo.
Yeah.
I have not received an email. I have not had a phone call. And I didn't receive anything in the mail. And I saw it in the paper.
Oh, my gosh. So that's the first time you saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it just tells you the sort of turmoil that, you know, is out there. It's the new normal. It's scary. It's just we don't know.
Well, I think
he's safe.
I don't know.
You know, they said there was a reported $100 million loss. Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, the books aren't open, are they?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, there. You know, when in today's day and age, you know, people, you know, that you know, make statements like, you know, well, okay, well, where can you show me that?
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see it. That's all.
We call those and receipts now.
I have no feeling that there's any wrongdoing here. I'm just saying that, even if you lost $100 million, let's say that there's 81 home games and every home game is worth more than $1 million. So that's 81 million, or more, maybe it amounts to 100 million. But you know, in a year that we just had, you know, so much difficulty, mm-hmm. and we had a baseball season that ended up, you know, bringing the world championship back to the city of Los Angeles for the Dodgers. And to further the pain that everybody's gone through, and this one moment, you know, where we win the World Series, now you're saying that we're gonna not have these employees back?
Yeah, it's just, but
it's really heart-wrenching. I mean, it's gut-wrenching.
It really is gut-wrenching, Ron, but, you know, we have to remember the bottom line, and I use that term purposefully, is that it's a business. And what's more important to the Dodgers than, you know, re-signing, for instance, Justin Turner, or bringing, Nolan Arenado in, or another high-priced player? The fans want to see a winner, and apparently big corporations are willing to sacrifice the little guy, even if they are under, quote, economic devastation caused by the coronavirus.
You know, it's really, once again, I have to defer, because I can't possibly have numbers, nor their strategy, and what that entails.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just here. Like you are, in a sense.
Well,
you know, I work there.
So. Yeah, but a little different than us. Yeah, but, you know, Dodger Blue is.
It's just a question that it's impossible for me to answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're not going to have the question answered by anyone right now. So what we're going to need to do is take a break.
Okay.
We're talking to Ron Say, Dodger legend.
I'm just going to throw out there that he's safe. That's just my personal theory.
You're safe. Do you need video replay on that play? You're safe, Ron, according to Jillian Barbary.
I forgot. I'm best friends. I didn't forget I was best friends with her, but with Billy Ashley's wife, the lovely Lisa Ashley. Billy's lovely guy, and he's Dodger Blue, too. And he's teaching baseball, too, now. So it's just such a wonderful Dodger Blue club.
And
it really is.
My fellow assistant coach for Hudson's baseball team is James Loney, who played for the Dodgers.
That's
great. Son, Jordan Loney,
goes to the school?
No, he's on the baseball team, at West Hills Baseball. So.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There you go.
You guys should stop talking right now.
Yeah, exactly. We were supposed to take a break 3 minutes ago. All right, you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The ball goes up and the ball comes down, swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound, the baseball falls to the ground.
Wow, you found every baseball song you could, Wayne. You're getting to the bottom of the barrel there.
You know, speaking of, wasn't that Kenny? Yeah, oh my gosh. Kenny Rogers once came on Good Day LA. Ron, are you still there? Stay with me.
He's there.
Okay. Well, I'm still hanging around.
Okay,
yeah,
well.
He's listening. He can't get a word in edgewise here.
Kenny Rogers came on, and I guess he had an eye job, and I didn't know who he was. And he's come out publicly about it. I'm not breaking any rules. And
Kenny Rogers?
Yeah, and he was on a satellite,
anymore.
Right? What?
He died.
Oh, well, I can say anything then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We had wonderful night together.
Finally, we got to the legal aspect of the show.
Yeah, I need Alan around constantly, Ron, because
you're not going to get sued.
So, Ron, we were talking in the break about Billy Ashley, and he loved playing for the Dodgers. And one of the characters he really took to was Tommy Lasorda, even though everyone has their differences with Tommy. And we were just reading at 93, he's in the hospital, and I get a little nervous about 93, and I hear hospital because of the times we're living in. Has anyone said anything, or do you have any inside information, or is it someplace you don't even want to go talk about?
He was in the hospital last week, was not taking any calls, in ICU, resting comfortably, and that's all the information that I have.
Well, good that he's resting comfortably, because this is just...
Yeah, I'm sure if there was any change, you would have heard about it at this point.
Right.
You know, there is one thing that I'd like to get back to that you asked me about the future of minor league baseball. And I'm really concerned about this too. And they've already said that they're probably going to cut 25% of the teams in baseball, which means that there's going to be a lot of kids, young men out there that you know, aren't going to have an opportunity to pursue their dreams. And you don't know, you know, we went to a five round draft in June from pretty much an open-ended one that usually you draft over 1,000 kids. And yes, you had five rounds and then you could sign some other players, but I don't know if they really signed as many people that they would have considering where the state of baseball is at this point in time. And, you know, it's gonna affect college baseball because you're going to have probably better teams, and that's not necessarily a bad problem. But there's going to be a lot of unsigned kids that are going to be good enough to go to, you know, college and play baseball. And then you're going to have to be the cream of the crop coming out of that after 3 years to have a shot. Otherwise, you're going to have people who probably would have gone on and signed, staying in school. And then, you know, now you've got players kind of overlapping.
So it's going to change baseball.
Anyway,
yeah.
Having said all of that, and plus, you know, the other things that they implemented this year was, you know, seven-inning doubleheaders and runner at second base to start the inning and extra innings. The DH was universal. Some new rules to the pitching. So you'll have to see where they try to fit this back in if we're going to have a full season. But once again, there's no guarantee that there will be, but they're moving ahead as right now it seems as if we're going to have a full season and everything's going to be on time. So
it's hard.
I guess until otherwise, that's their plan. So,
it's really hard, though, to plan. You know, as they say, we plan and God laughs. And the fact of the matter is it's true in all sports. I think a lot of the sports have gotten lucky, football especially. Baseball got through. I think Ron Manfred was so happy when he got through the season without these problems. But you make a good point about developmentally, where do we go from here when these kids are not getting the opportunities that maybe the major leaguers do to either be in a quasi bubble or to be tested every day? All of that stuff isn't happening at the college level and at the minor league baseball level.
Well, that part I don't know, because we didn't have a minor leagues. We didn't have a minor leagues this year.
Crazy.
You know, they'll have to, there were no minor league games. I mean, the kids that we had, basically working out and were on that list of possible players that could move on to the major league club if there were injuries and such, that camp that they had over there. I don't know how many players were involved with that, but the rest of the minor leaguers were, you know, they were out of work for a year. And that really hurt. That really, really hurt. There are so many kids that, you know, you're looking at probably in the neighborhood of maybe 150 kids in camp every year, minor leaguers. I mean, on the average, maybe it's a little high, but I don't know. It's going to be lower than that this year or in the future. So, you know, you take out 30 times 150, you know, that's a lot of young men out of work, you know, and you know, possibly, you know, losing another year to pursue their dreams. So
yeah.
It's a tough situation.
Maybe the marginal players will get a pass and stay in the majors when in past years, you know, the new crop would come and take them out. I don't know.
It's just a
completely different situation. Then we look back and we've got the candidates now for the Hall of Fame. Ron, will Bonds or Clemens, are they just about done? I know Schilling's up almost for the last time. Kent, a Dodger. What do you think?
I don't see any real automatic in the voting for the Hall of Fame. The Bonds and Clemens issue, you know, there's other people out there too. It's not just them. If you have the real staunch people that are influential in the hall that still want to play old school, then I would say that pretty much they're not going to get in.
Yeah.
It's much like Pete Rose.
Yes, you know? Like I was just going to say
banging on the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, somebody, you know, gave him some really bad advice, in my opinion, on how to handle this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it hasn't worked to his benefit.
Should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, he maybe, but you never had a chance to give him any advice, did you, Ron?
Pete?
Yeah.
Pete. Oh, no. I mean, look, I've known Pete for a long time. Pete's actually, you know, I would say maybe in the last 5 years is not as local. But I used to see Pete quite a bit, you know, just running into him by accident. But I don't think he's around that much anymore. But, you know, Pete's a first ballot Hall of Famer based on his career statistics.
100%. I've always said that. He should be in there.
You know, but unfortunately, you know, people make mistakes in their life, and sometimes they have to pay for it dearly. And, you know, Pete... You know, just trying to convince people that he belongs in the Hall of Fame, that he's paid his debts and his dues, and he's been humble and come clean, and you know, still hasn't been able to seep through to the other side yet. So I don't know where that's going to end up.
Don't you resent some of these players who maybe did make some mistakes, whether they cheated or whatever? You did it right. You were the man of integrity who, on and off the field, as they say, with the Lou Gehrig Award, you gotta resent some of these guys that you played with that maybe didn't do everything that you did to do things right.
Well, Alan, thank you. You know, but you know, I've had, you know, my vices too. You know, I wasn't, you know, a choir boy, and you know, there, I didn't do anything of that nature that I'm talking about. But I'm just saying, you know, I got off the main path a few times.
Sure.
You know, I everybody does.
Even Brett Barbary, you think? Just kidding.
I don't know. You have to tell me more about that than
he was a good Christian player, so I never really worried about that stuff, and I just didn't. I didn't. I was like, oh, I had my career. I was fine. I trusted him, and I think that you go going back to your wife. You said you got to have a lot of that faith in each other. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, as far as you know, the people that have you know used, you know, I think. You know, Mark McGwire, it was kind of a slow way to develop for him, because when they were asked to go back to Washington, D.C. and testify, that, you know, that didn't work out quite the same way I think that he felt it might.
He said Andros was for his sex drive. Remember that?
Well, I mean, I like Mark. I think he's paid his dues. He's humble. He's a good guy. He knows he made a mistake. I think he's fessed up to that.
Yeah.
Now, so you know, I have no issues with Mark.
I love Mark McGwire.
I consider him a good friend. I consider him a good friend. I really do.
I've always been a huge.
He was our hitting coach.
Yeah.
He was our hitting coach for a while.
Yeah.
And we had numerous conversations about things and. It was always fun to do that, but, you know, Palmeiro, you know, I was, you know, arm's length, away from Rafael when I was with the Cubs and
Rafael Palmeiro.
And when I was elbow to elbow with him, in spring training, and he was a young kid working his way through, and I would get to see him play. Because everybody gets to see the kids play.
Yeah.
And so, and you'd watch him work out and watch him, you know, their athleticism and how they play the game and
right.
what character they are. And so you learn quite a bit about him. And he always, I said, man, this kid has a great stroke. I mean,
I remember beautiful.
Very little that he does wrong, that if he went sideways for a while, that you couldn't get him back on track. You know, it's not like some other guy who's got 5 points where he breaks down and, you know, you're trying to fix three of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, it's just different. But I didn't envision him. I envisioned him as a plus 300 hitter. And I thought that he may hit 15 home runs or so. And depending on where he'd probably hit in the front of the order, because I think he'd command that kind of attention. He'd probably have a chance to drive in maybe 80, 90 runs a year. But where he went was catastrophic. I mean, it's amazing. I couldn't envision that happening.
I don't know, but we want to end this on a positive note. We're always about positive stuff here in Gervie's Law. And, you know, when you look back, Ron, you got to be proud of, you know, your family, Coach Dan, your daughter, Amanda, all your, how many, three grandchildren now?
Four.
Oh, wow.
That's
they're
nice.
They're just
three girls and one boy.
Three boys.
Oh, congrats. You've done something
and
right.
And little
in life.
Julian's going to be another major leaguer, I'm sure. The little guy.
You know,
That's the positive. That's what you got to feel good about.
Yeah, it's true.
I got to tell you, obviously, the being restricted as we have been for so many months now, you know, everybody handles a little differently. And I had a big reward with my two grandkids that I got to see a lot of, and still do.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And they have made my day. Plenty of days during this time, and we have our little stuff that we do together, and we have our stuff that we, you know, do one-on-one, and, you know, it's lingo, it's the way we play, it's the way we talk, you know, it's so much fun, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah,
that, you know, they are just so much fun.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, your kids are coming up, right?
Yeah, let's just hope that we have some really good times ahead.
Yeah.
Family, baseball wise, Ron. Say
thank you, Ron.
We really want to thank you for spending the time with us here on Gervie's Law.
So much more to talk about.
I wasn't sure I could talk this long.
Oh, boy.
Jillian got me started.
Well, listen, we didn't even get into the Vin Scullys, the Lenny Dykstra. I've got so many stories for you.
You could do a 10-part series.
Well, Ron, you know what?
Yeah.
You'll have to invite me back to get round two.
100%.
We will look forward to that.
Ron, say thank you.
Stay safe.
Thank you very much. Enjoy it.
All right.
Wonderful
thanks
to talk to you.
All right. We're going to take a break. After the break, we'll bring Hudson and Harper off on the show just to close it off. Jillian, we'll talk to them right here on Gervie's Law.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Oh, yes. Great song.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about our next segment.
Yeah, well, the glory days for some of us are over, but for some of us who are sitting in the room right here, they're just beginning.
Oh, sweet.
Hudson and Harper, welcome back to Gervie's Law. That's your name, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your name? Introduce yourself.
My name is Hudson.
And my name is Harper.
And what's your last name?
Gervie.
And now, are you related to this man here? Should I have him removed? Do you know this man?
Yes.
He's my dad.
That guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he's kind of awesome, isn't he? What's your favorite thing to do, you guys? Is it to come into work with dad and see how he does things?
My favorite thing to do is play sports.
You know what I love about that answer? Yeah. Not enough kids. I see kids on video games like my son all day long. I go, don't you want to go hit something? And he said, I'd like to hit you, Mom. I said, that's not the answer I'm looking for. No, but he likes to play drums. But my ex, the ball player, said to me, kids like you playing baseball, that's what it's about. Because he once said to me, a kid asked him, how did you get in the major leagues? You know what he said? Somebody's got to do it. And so you guys get out there and you play and you learn. And there's nothing like the
camaraderie,
confidence, teamwork.
And that's what Ron said earlier.
But also the structure, that's what I wanted to say to him.
He talked about Little League and what it does to develop. You guys are both on teams. Harper, what do you play?
Softball.
Oh, you do? You play softball? And what position? Do you know if you're first? Do
they have first? They rotate positions.
Yes. Yeah.
What was the
That's
name
smart.
Of your last team? That you, or the last couple teams had some cool names.
Oh, was it the Wicked Wizards?
No.
No.
One was the Four Leaf Clovers, my first one.
I love that.
And then the second one was the Pink Cat Ninjas.
Okay, that might be the coolest. Pink I think Cat I'm going to name my next band that.
Pink Cat Ninjas. And Hudson, you had more of the traditional major league names for your team,
and
right?
And then the one that I'm on now is the Blue Devils.
Oh.
Blue Devils. Yeah, and we've taken a little bit of a break. We're not playing any games, but you were on the Blue Devils. What about you, Hudson? You're on a team now. You were drafted this week.
Ooh. That's
and
exciting.
The team is a team that you've already been on. It's a name that you had. We already have jerseys for that team. What is it?
Pirates.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, do they do the same colors, the black and the yellow?
And black
nice.
For the Pirates. Are you yellow and black, Huds?
Yeah, I am yellow and black.
Now, can I ask you guys a question? Does your dad, who's more strict? Is your dad strict? Does he say you're not allowed? It's after the game. You come home. You got to sit down. No TV till we have dinner. How does that go? Is dad strict?
Yeah. Our mom is strict, too.
Yeah, well, Dad,
that's good because
Dad,
you know what it does?
Lets you do some things that mom doesn't.
No, it's the discipline of sport. It all comes back around. You raise good kids, and look at your kids. They're good. You should see my kids when they're here. They're running up and down the halls. They're trying to put their hands up the candy machine.
We learned some new words this weekend, didn't we?
Yeah.
What was the word? Hudson and Harper, can you remember the word that we're trying to focus on during these difficult times with the pandemic? It starts with an O.
Yeah. I remember it, but I just didn't.
Ooh, can you guys tell me, what does that mean?
It means, like, that you are, like, feeling good. And
if, like, if you think it might be a rainy day, you don't think it's going to be a rainy day.
Oh.
You think it's going to be sunny, and so you can go to the beach.
So you're thinking positively.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, I don't know if we have to. I have a couple questions. Can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead quickly.
Okay.
We're running
Hudson
out of time
and here. Harper separately. What are your favorite movies of all time? Hudson, you go first.
My favorite movie is a movie called MVP. It's a hockey movie about a chimpanzee who plays hockey.
I know it very well. I've seen it many times because of my son. What about you, Harper?
My favorite movie is Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, I love that movie. Good choices.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful movie.
What did you watch this weekend when the three of us were just hanging out and mom was having a break? What movie did we watch? Starts with an R.
Rudy.
And what was the story of Rudy?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's about a football player who tried his hardest to play football, and then he never got to play in any game, and then he finally got to play in a game, and he did a tackle.
Yeah,
and
University of Notre Dame.
True story.
A true story.
Yeah.
And what was that an example of? Was Rudy optimistic about playing?
He was optimistic about playing.
Yeah, to the max, I would say.
I would say so.
Optimism to the max. And that's something that we have to consider.
During these times.
You guys, we're going to have to.
Thanks for joining us today.
Close. Thank you. What do you say to Jillian? Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to come on again?
Yeah.
Really, I have a lot of questions for you when we ran out of time. So if you could come back, I'd like to ask you all those questions.
Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yay!
Let's send us out. What do you say? Say goodbye to everyone and say, tune in next week to Gervie's Law.
Bye.
Tune in next week to Gervie's Law.
Right here on KABC.
This show was furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.